Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
But right now, Keith, every Tuesday after 4:05, we check in at City Hall.
And we have the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton.
John, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon to you both. I'm fine. Thank you. Always. Thanks for having me back on.
We always love having you on, my friend. And good news in Monroe County, at least in the COVID department, as we've been tracking the cases as we do here. Our numbers today, 375 total cases. That's plus 14 cases and 28 fatalities. But the good news is this is the 19th straight day, I believe I read somewhere, that we have not had a fatality in Monroe County. So in that category, we should be, I don't think we should be going out to celebrate. that would defeat the whole purpose. But it looks like the numbers are looking good. We need to keep on this path.
Well, those are some good indicators. I will say we've gotten some negatives too. The prevalence rate has gone up a little bit, particularly among 20 to 29 year olds. So that's kind of just the cohort we're particularly concerned about. So, and obviously anybody who watches the news, listens to the radio, hears the national stories, man, I kind of was thinking today we're kind of a poster child as a country for not how to deal with this, because, you know, there's so many examples where it's moved in a better direction. So we really do have a lot to do here still. And I think you'll hear more about that in the next few days locally, too.
And I think that was going to be my next question. On top of that, we heard rumblings that masks will become mandatory here in Bloomington and Monroe County. We know your group met last Friday, and nothing definitive came out of that, but I'm reading between the lines here, suggesting that we might have some more definitiveness here shortly.
Yes, you know, we're in a good spot. I mean, as you indicated, it's important to note that all that we've done together, and maybe some good luck, has meant that Monroe County and the state of Indiana generally has not been hit as hard as a number of states and communities, and Bloomington certainly better than some of the communities in the state. But we know what can happen. I mean, we've seen this movie being played out around the country, and I think what we're planning locally is to try to take the steps that mean we don't have to see the sequel that a bunch of other people are watching these days. And so that does mean, I think you'll see really in the next few days or week, some steps that we will take as a county health, and certainly with our support, to look at mask requirements. 21 states do it, a number of counties and cities do it here in our state, basically saying we know these work. The next two or three months are really important, so let's all wear a mask when we're outside, out of our homes, essentially, unless you're outdoors and 6 feet from people. I think you'll probably also see some regulations. There's drafts floating back and forth that will change the way we go to bars, maybe restaurants, these kind of super spreader threats, and there may be some change as well in the social gathering limits. Those are kind of the three areas I expect to see the change. And look, we don't want to do this, but you got to pay attention to what's happening, and we really need to protect ourselves from falling back into what California just did, closing every bar and restaurant. Some really dramatic things.
Exactly. You let the people, sometimes they need a little government in their lives, Mayor Hamilton. Sometimes they do. We saw our friends, speaking of government in their lives, in West Lafayette, $100, you're not wearing a mask, $250 if you're not wearing it the second time. Are we considering anything in that realm, or how do we enforce? We can have every resolution to where we stack them to the moon. How do we enforce getting this done, or is that something we just hope peer pressure and everything else takes care of?
Well, I saw that. I talked to Mayor Dennis two or three weeks ago about this, and I support what they're doing up there. They have a lot of the same situation we do with West Lafayette and Purdue, and I think we'll probably end up in a similar place. The fines are, I'll just say, the vast majority of people are going to comply with an order like this. They know it's the right thing to do. They're taking care of each other. They're following the the rules. The vast majority of establishments is where you're really going to want to see the enforcement for indoors. If you're at a restaurant or a CVS or a Kroger or a Fresh Time or wherever you're going, that masks be worn in all those places. We'll do the enforcement as we need to, and there probably does need to be teeth if needed. We certainly will focus on compliance. Some of us were kind of talking, it's a little bit like the smoking ordinance when that came in, and it was a big change, when Bloomington led the way in that in a lot of ways. And it took a little bit for people to get comfortable. It's not meant to be punitive, but it is meant to assure compliance, and I think we'll move the same kind of way.
We're speaking with John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington. And Mr. Mayor, as I move around and talk to other people and look on the social media, the countdown is in the minds of a lot of people. 40, 50,000 students about to resume occupancy in Bloomington, Indiana. And that is a major concern in a lot of people's minds about what might come into this city with that group of people. The city, the county... Are you talking about that? Are you talking about anything to mitigate what could happen, or is it you got to wait to see if anything does happen?
We are definitely talking about that and planning for it very closely with Indiana University and all our partners. And I mean, another way to think about that is your largest employer is reopening, right?
Yes.
And that's a good thing. But it's got to be done safely and carefully. It's like having a school system reopen. It's a very large employer and a very large part of our economy and our culture and that. And it's definitely front of mind as we look at some of these new rules that I think you'll see very shortly to try to manage that increased risk. There's no question it's an increased risk. I'll give you an example. We're very pleased that IU is going to require, I believe they've announced they're going to require every returning student to get a COVID test and to have a negative COVID test a short few days before they come. That means that's a big step. That means, if they get 50 or 100 or whatever number of positives, they'll be able to deal with them rather than just having them arrive unheralded in our community. So there's going to be a lot of testing, and there's not enough of it, but I know IU's working hard to increase that capacity here in Bloomington. There's a lot of expertise, but, it's definitely the jury's out on whether we will make it through this without the movie sequel that so many of our states around the country are seeing. And I don't want to see that movie. I want to keep doing how we're doing, and if it means we got to spend another few months with, fewer big parties and less bar attendance, then so be it, because we want to keep moving forward and not have the really tough result of moving backwards, both for health and economy and so many other ways.
Do the mayors of cities that have colleges in their towns talk about this kind of thing, or is that just you're all on your own?
No, I've spoken to the mayors of West Lafayette and South Bend and in touch with Indianapolis people, too. I think those first three, South Bend, West Lafayette, and us, are probably unusual in that we have major, really, universities that pull people from all over the country and pull them into a relatively small city. And so I've been in touch with both those other mayors talking about this, and I think we're of similar approaches, which is, better safe than sorry. So let's try to be cautious. The governor obviously slowed down a little bit when he saw what was going on, but I think our communities have particular risk of reopening with the university population. So we're being, I think we're all kind of taking a similar approach, and I hope the public will understand it and understand that we're trying to take an ounce of medicine now to avoid a pound of cure later.
One of the things that hit the news today, Mr. Mayor, was these tests for the COVID are taking a longer time because of the number of tests that have to be given. And you just mentioned that within a certain number of days before they return, the students at IU will have to get a test. But if those results don't come back in a timely way, boy.
The number's 10 days, I believe. Chuck Carney will join us tomorrow, and we'll get the details from him. But they have to have the results of a test 10 days before returning to campus. It's not a perfect situation, Mayor Hamilton, and that's what we're dealing with right now, sadly.
Well, It isn't. But, you know, in all of this, we're playing the averages. We're, you know, you talked about baseball. I mean, baseball is a game of averages, right? You usually don't get a hit, but every third time, if you're great, you do. But we're playing the averages with trying to reduce the risks in the ways that we can that make sense to just reduce the risk of a major outbreak. And the IU step it's not perfect, but it's absolutely the right thing to do. Controlling big bar populations that are, you know, standing close to each other without masks is not perfect, but it's a smart thing to do. Requiring masks, limiting social gatherings to certain sizes. None of them is going to be perfect, but they are all trying to play the game of averages to reduce the risk that we'll have a big outbreak. And if there are other suggestions, we're open to those. But those seem to be, you know, you're kind of following the science and balancing and playing the averages.
And speaking of that, why is the Marion County Fair going on right now? Does anybody have an explanation for that? I did the story yesterday that Washington Township Schools, North Central School, they're going virtual school only. And adjacent to that story was, hey, here are the 65 vendors that are going to be at the Monroe County or the Marion County Fair this year. Have we lost our minds?
That I hadn't heard.
Me neither. Boy, and I read the byline 20 times. I thought it was a misprint. I thought it was a story from 2019, and it's not. But we're being smart in the sense that there is no Taste of Bloomington. There was no 4th of July. We're trying to minimize these events. And Keith, to the mayor's point, if they're going to shut down large gatherings or shut down, if they're going to slow down large gatherings, slow down bar and restaurant stuff, that's how when everybody comes back, you slow them down a little bit because they're going to have to wear masks on campus when they're on campus. And we're all in this together. And we're all going to have to be flexible as we move on.
Well, Mr. Mayor, taking it to a different way, you're going to have a big speech on Thursday. You want to give us a little hint without giving away what you're going to talk about, what that's all about?
Well,
I mean, you're pretty proud of what you're doing.
Well, thank you. It's my fourth big speech this year, and the year is moving so fast. I felt it's been important to kind of try to lay out in a speech where we are and where I think we're going. This one's called Recovery Forward, and it's really trying to look at I'll talk about four big challenges that we're in the middle of that are right in front of us. One of course is the health pandemic. Another is the economic collapse that we've had in connection with that. A third is the racial issues that have arisen and surfaced so dramatically. And then the fourth is climate change, which I talked about a lot in January and February, and we just haven't been able to talk about it. But you know what? It's not gone anywhere. So these are four. Any one of those would be a major challenge for us. So I'm trying to I'll be talking about where I think we should go moving forward as a city. It's time to think about recovering forward. How do we want to get out of this hole that we're in, both the health hole, the economic hole, and talk about race and climate as well. So it's not for the faint of heart, but I just feel like I need to talk about this. Communities all across the country are going to be making decisions about the next 2, 3, 4 years, where we want to go. And I thought it was important to lay that out. So Thursday at noon, it'll be a Facebook Live release of that. And I'll encourage people to come in, or if you can't stand watching a whole speech of me, I totally appreciate that. But you can read it afterwards if you want.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon, and we'll remind everybody of that tomorrow as well. And then we'll talk to Deputy Mayor Renheisen at 4:05 on Thursday and hash out any details that we need to do with that. Obviously, Bloomington has been in the news recently as we have dealt with the 4th of July incident with Vox Booker and others at Lake Monroe, which is not Bloomington proper, but we as a city obviously are dealing with gatherings and protests, et cetera, from that event. And that event has taken a twist with the other party coming out and saying what's going on. Do you foresee, what does your crystal ball tell you how this is going to move forward? You're obviously a lawyer, and help us shed some light on how these processes work.
Sure. You know, there's kind of two levels at least of this. One level is we have had particular incidents happen in our community that are energizing and activating and disturbing and upsetting and aggravating. And you've mentioned one of those with Mr. Booker. There were several others, a little less dramatic than that. And I've weighed in and said my piece about, you know, how gut sick I was looking at the videos, and that's true. The second level really is, and I'll come back to that in a minute. The second level, of course, is really what do we do about what we know and learn and see about our community and our culture and our country, and those are issues of how we deal with our police. I'm very proud of many parts of the Bloomington Police Department, what they do, their history, their culture, but they're not immune from some of the challenges and threats and stresses that other police departments have. It's our education system. It's our housing system. It's our criminal justice system. It's our economic system. And that's kind of the second level that really takes the hard work. You know, on the first level, it's not surprising that you have a conflict like this that's probably headed to the courts, both criminal and civil, that you're going to have the lawyers, besides lawyering up and arguing with each other about what happened. And, you know, my job as mayor, I think I don't run the courts. I don't run the people who arrested them or will prosecute them. But my job as mayor is to try to be a voice that encourages the rule of law to work and for the process to work. The county prosecutor, Erica Oliphant, will get the investigation. I wish she had it already, but the state will give her the investigation and she'll decide whether and whom to charge with what crimes for that incident at Lake Monroe. You know, I am responsible for the car hit and run, and we've apprehended the driver, and we have had her arrested and charged by the county prosecutor. And those court cases are going to take some time. But in the meantime, the community needs to be working on that level too to address these issues as best we can.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in with us every Tuesday just after 4:05. And the city, obviously, and county are working in concert, as they tried to do, on every issue that goes on. And with budgets and everything else coming forward, we know we talked to Jim Sims last half hour quickly. The city council's back to work on the 22nd, and budgets are going to be a part of that. How much is COVID and what we've seen recently with the outpouring of demonstrations, protests, whatever we like to call them, how will that affect the police budget? Is that Chief Dekoff saying? Do you go to Chief Dekoff and say, here's what I'd like from the budget? Let the listeners know how that could possibly work, or that number comes about.
Sure. And I'm glad you had Councilmember Sims on, too, to talk about that. One of the things I will talk about in the speech on Thursday, and I introduced it last Friday to the council, is what I call a recovery package. I'm proposing about a $2 million investment yet this year from reversion money that we did not spend. That's money that was not spent from 2019 that we often redeploy in 2020, and we just kind of held on to that given all the uncertainties, but I'm going to be proposing some recovery investments that will focus on how do we help our community climb out of this economic hole, recover forward, move quickly, and that will include a number of areas. The budget for 2021 is where the police budget, of course, is part of that, as all the departments are. And Chief Dekoff and I, along with a number of other folks, are listening. Identifying how the police department can keep getting better at what we do. I think you'll see some changes in the department budget. I won't preview those probably too much here, but in August we'll be presenting the budget, which we're still finalizing. We have to tighten our belt a bit. We're seeing some decreased revenues because of the economic slowdown. And we need to be sure that we keep what I call kind of our basic services going. And I think the city is in very strong fiscal shape. We have good reserves. We built them up with the city council over the last decade, and they're called rainy day reserves. And as I said, this is a rainy day. This is the time you use the reserves to make sure our government can keep providing the services we need. And in fact, even help invest in recovery. The fancy word of countercyclical, in a lot of ways, government should step in when everyone else has to step back to try to keep our economy going and keep our community going. That's what we a role we can play. I'll talk about that on Thursday as well. But the police, you know, police reform, we've been doing a lot of police reform for 5 years or for 10 years before I got in even, and we're going to continue that. And we're listening to a lot of different voices. There are a lot of people with ideas about that.
Mr. Mayor, and by the way, we're speaking with Mayor John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington. There was another farmer's market started up over the weekend, and some would say it was in response to some things that happened at the city farmer's market. What's your take on all of this, and can there be two or three going on at the same time on the same day?
Well, yes, the answer to that is yes. Apparently there can be. There was last Saturday. You know, it was over a year ago, I think, that we were dealing with issues, of course, in the market downtown last year. And I said, it's called a community farmers market for a reason. It doesn't belong to the city. It belongs to the community. And the community is going to decide how we want to go forward with this market. And the community, some members of the community have decided they want to spin off and create some different markets, and it's a free country, and, you know, go to it, you know, good luck. Markets are hard to run, but cities, many cities have multiple farmers market. You know, it's been a difficult thing. We've had an award-winning, one of the best markets in the state, 45 years old. Obviously, we've gone through some challenges that have challenged our community. And I think the jury's out, frankly. You know, I don't know where we're going to end up. The farmers market downtown had similar numbers, actually, this Saturday. 1,400 people were there. There were a little bit fewer vendors, but the attendance and purchasing was pretty similar. So I don't know how it will all shake out. And frankly, it's not in my control in a lot of ways. I know there are people who want me to take certain steps, and I swear an oath to a constitution that means I can't do everything everybody wants me to do, but I follow the law. And the community is going to decide how this is going to work. You know, markets were created for farmers. So I do try to keep my eye on our local farmers and say, are we helping them survive and do well? It's hard times for them. And then the bonus is the market becomes this amazing community asset. And that's going to evolve. We're going to see how that shakes out.
Okay, before we let you go, Mr. Mayor, two of the things I know you're really happy about, and that's the splash pad and the Kirkwood closings on the weekend. How's that going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one other thing I should note, today was the Be More Awards, which is such a wonderful evening at the Buskirk, and it couldn't be done that way, but it's a powerful celebration of the people in Bloomington who helped make our community what it is. And I just want to give a shout out to all the winners. You can go online and check that out. Kirkwood, what we're hearing from the merchants and the customers is that people like it. We're going to keep doing that downtown. And splash pad, I haven't gotten wet there myself, but I'm hoping to sometime. And it's a good few days for it, running from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Take yourself down there, enjoy the new park, and give us feedback on what you like and don't like. There's a great playground down there too that's really interesting.
Mayor Hamilton, we've been there twice. We love it. Thank you for making that get up and running. And good shout on the Be More Awards as well. I'm guessing you can probably go back on Facebook or Cats or somewhere and watch that if you haven't had a chance to see it. So that's great. Tell us again your plan for Thursday. What time do we get things started?
Thursday at noon, it'll be available on Facebook and I think our website too, probably. Tune in, should be done within a half an hour, I would think.
All right, sounds good, my friend, and thanks for the heads up. We'll keep an eye on the Monroe County Health Department as well, so it should be a busy week this week.
As usual, it appears these days. So thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Mayor Hamilton. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Take care.
John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington, joins us every week after 4:05, and we get the mayor's thoughts on everything that's happening here in Bloomington.